community. And hey, if you enjoy Fresh Hop Cinema, you can now go to kzfr.org and tip this show.
All righty, and you are tuned to listener-supported community radio, 90.1 KZFR Chico, streaming worldwide at kzfr.org. It is time for Butte Views and Beyond. Yes, Ken Clark, Eternal Funk, our theme song here at Butte Views and Beyond. My name's Ray Lager. I'll be your host today. And we want to thank you for supporting KZFR, your generous contributions. And we also want to thank Friends of the Arts, your state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts creates economic opportunities by producing and supporting events and by publishing a bi-monthly arts and culture newsletter. To stay in the know or to have your event listed, visit friendsof.art. We also like to thank Dolmeyer Insurance Agency, an independent insurance and retail broker since 1948. Dolmeyer Insurance provides a wide range of coverage options from home and auto insurance to farm and ranch coverage. You can reach Dolmeyer Insurance in Chico at 342-6421 and in Oroville at 533-3424 and at chicoinsurance.com. Alrighty, got a number of interviews for you tonight here on Butte Views. Again, thank you for tuning in. As far as fire updates, I highly suggest going to the Butte County website at fire.ca.gov incidents, and you can find listings for the Dixie Fire. There was also a fire burning earlier on Neal Road in Paradise at 5 o'clock. They had it contained and were mopping up. So that is not a current report. That's from an hour ago. So please, all the information you're going to get, the quickest up-to-the-date information is going to be from Butte County Sheriffs. So that's our recommendations on that. And we'll let you know of any changes that come through. Everybody, please be safe and please be aware. And it's pretty smoky out there, so prepare for that as well. Alrighty, let's go right to our first interview, and thanks for tuning in.
I'd like to welcome the marketing manager of Chico Performances. We remember those guys, Rachel Simmons. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so obviously interesting times, but you guys got some really exciting news.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are so excited that Chico Performances is back for a real live season. Our 21-22 season will be announced in just a couple of weeks. We'll give you the full lineup. But it's our 40th anniversary season, and we are so pleased to be able to welcome audiences back to Laxon Auditorium for our arts and entertainment.
Yeah, that's great. And 40 years, too. That's pretty incredible.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely a special part of the Chico community and the North State community, really.
Yeah, totally. And, you know, I think people kind of take, well, we don't take anything for granted anymore.
Not anymore. We had a gut check the last year and a half, didn't we?
Yeah. But I mean, people, you know, I mean, you think about all the different, not just performances, but speakers and workshops and kids that you bring in, you know, you have a whole, you know, section of just like education of groups coming in to see the performances and to be a part of the performances on some levels.
Absolutely. I think one of my favorite parts of working with Chico Performances is our community engagement, and that we have this field trip series where we're able to bring all of these children into Lexan every year to oftentimes get their first live theater experience and just to see the awe on their faces. But also our community engagement takes performers out into our schools as well. So that's a portion of it too. So we're really trying to be, you know, part of the community.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you guys definitely are. And it's it's nice to see you back and things coming up. I guess you're going to make the big announcements in August. Is that right?
That is right. We are looking at the second week of August. So mark your calendars there. We're still finalizing just a couple of things on our season calendar, but we are looking forward to announcing, and we're actually changing the way we announce. So generally, as you probably know, we announce in the summer for the entire year for all of our shows through the spring. And we're changing it up a little bit this year. And so when we announce in just a couple of weeks, we'll be announcing performances for September, October, and November. So then in October, we'll do another announcement for another 3 months of the season. And a lot of it just has to do with where we're at with kind of the COVID protocols and procedures and the precautions that we need to take. So if in October we're in a position to be able to announce the rest of the shows through the entire season, we'll do that. So I think the takeaway is that we're all learning to be a little more flexible.
Yeah, we are. And to be honest with you, you know, it's a little more intriguing to have, you know, you get like a 3 month and then you get, you know, because a lot of times when you would get the magazine or whatever, you'd look at the thing, there was like so many choices. It's like, okay, I'll pick three this year, you know. But in the short term, I think there's a little more interest because you don't know what's coming. It's like, okay, let's catch this one. Oh, I don't want to miss this. And
right.
And I think it's a little more what's the word I'm looking for? Like a call to action, you know, a little more.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. And I think it's a little more exciting. You can flip to your calendar on your phone and be like, oh, I can go to that. Let's buy tickets now.
Yeah.
Where if we're looking at something that's all the way on April right now, I'm not thinking about April quite yet.
Right. And I, you know, obviously this is happening. Well, like, you know, if you go to a restaurant, you don't get a menu, you get a QR code and then you place your order and they bring you your food.
Yeah.
And I know it's also happening throughout the entertainment industry where, you know, obviously they've been doing mobile tickets or electronic tickets for a long time, but it's kind of gone up a notch now.
Absolutely. So we are in communication with performing arts presenters from across the state, from across the nation all the time. And we're really comparing notes and working with our partners at other theaters to see what the best practices are. And we'll be implementing a lot of those changes. So, you know, the QR code is back at restaurants. And so we're looking at making some changes like that too, going to an all electronic ticket. So when you're at the front of the line, you can simply just open up your phone, we will scan it, and then you're in the door. So we're limiting kind of that contact, and it's greener to be honest as well too.
Yeah.
So that's a positive byproduct from all of this. And so another way that we're looking at kind of going touchless or limited contact is in addition to our electronic tickets is our electronic programs. So in the past, we have handed out a program to every person as they walk in the door, and we're going to change that up this year. And so I'm working with a company to develop this really great, robust program. And it's something more than we could ever offer in print just due to space. And so the program will be programs for each show will be available on our show page on our website. We will email the link directly to ticket buyers. They can pull it up on their phone. It's mobile responsive. It will also resonate on tablets or computers, whatever device you want to look at it on. And we'll be able to put complete bios and headshots for all of the performers. We'll be able to include links to albums and radio stations and videos. And so before you're even in the theater sitting in your seat, you'll really have a sense of what you can expect. So I think that, you know, it's definitely different from having a paper program, but this is really an exciting thing to be able to offer our audiences with a much more robust offering.
Yeah. And it's great that, I mean, you could preview the music ahead of time. Like, oh, I heard of this guy, but I'm not sure what genre it is. And then it's like, oh, wow, I kind of like that, you know, yeah. It's the future.
Absolutely. And if it's a name that maybe you aren't familiar with, it gives you another opportunity to see the work and kind of make that decision like, oh, this could be a great fit for me. Let's go check it out. So
yeah,
we're excited to offer that.
You know, I do that a lot in jazz. It's like, okay, I never heard of this guy, but the people he's playing with are like, okay, if he's playing with that guy, then he must be somebody.
Right.
It's worth a look. So
yeah,
that's exciting. And that's all coming to a phone near you.
Yes, absolutely. Keep that iPhone handy.
Yeah. Well, that's great. That's really great. And it's got to be, you know, again, we're all trying to figure this whole thing out. Just exciting that it's coming back. And it sounds like you're going to maybe do some outdoor things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the things that I'm excited to give you a little preview on is we are planning on doing a festival, and that will be in October is our plan right now. Right. And we'll give you all the details in a couple weeks, but it will be on the lawn at Chico State in front of Kendall Hall. Beautiful setting. Hopefully the weather's a little bit cooler and the air is great and all the stars align for us. Right. But it will be music festival. We will have food trucks, a beer garden, a community art project. So we're really just so excited to welcome the community back to campus, back to Chico State, back to Chico Performances, and really just like bring back that camaraderie that arts and entertainment can bring.
Yeah. And it's, you know, the events you've had there before are just a huge injection into the downtown for the restaurants and all that stuff. And it just creates a whole buzz and there's people coming and going all day. And it's just a great energy.
Absolutely. We're so lucky to have downtown right next door. And it's just such a great experience for our patrons.
Yeah. Well, that's exciting. And also exciting, new mom. So that's great.
Yeah. We just welcomed baby number 3. This is the finale for us. This is the mic drop.
This is the mic drop. There you go.
Yeah, this is the mic drop. She came in March and I am back to work as of last week. And we are in the, you know, hit the ground running, preparing for this season.
Yeah. Well, it sounds, you know, you thought you were busy before, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, and we're still work from home, so baby's just in the other room.
Yeah, that's great. Well, those some of the benefits, you know.
Absolutely.
And you know, it's interesting too. And I was just in a meeting earlier and talking to some other business owners, and now that we kind of see what reopening looks like, and that you realize that we're not going back. We're just moving forward, and you know, digital meetings is here to stay.
Absolutely, it's the new normal.
Yeah, and it's more efficient, and you know, I hear, oh, it's not as personal. It's like, you know, not really. I mean, you know, if you're sitting in a meeting room somewhere, and you know, your dog or your cat walks across the camera, or you know, the child comes out, to me that's kind of personable. You know,
absolutely, it puts kind of the human element back into business a little bit.
Yeah,
it's definitely not necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah. Well, and it does. And, you know, let's face it, it's all about relationships and being able to relate to each other. And that's definitely an icebreaker.
Absolutely.
So now you guys, for the 40th anniversary, have anything special planned that you guys are doing? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. So we're coming back with a new look and feel. We actually started the process of doing a brand refresh about a year and a half ago, and we fully plan to roll out that rebrand with a season last fall. But as you know, that didn't really happen. We were able to pull off a series of virtual events, but we held back that brand refresh for a live in-person season. So when you start getting communications from us, when you start getting the mailer pieces from us, when you look at a digital arts and ideas, it'll look and feel a little bit different. And so I'm excited to share that with everyone. And it's definitely something that that is fresh and new and still honors our heritage and our history with that 40th anniversary.
Right. And you still have the box office and the offices across from campus here?
Yeah, our box office is still in the same location. Our box office will be open for ticket sales, but for anyone who's is concerned about in-person transactions and things like that, still you can purchase tickets on Chico Performances. You can call our box office. We are here.
You guys are here. You guys are back.
We are back.
All right. Well, that's great to hear. And if people don't know, because, you know, there's always new people coming and all the time, Chico Performances is the university's arm of, like, arts and culture, I guess, kind of.
Arts and culture. Yeah, absolutely.
Really live performances at LAX, and we're really fortunate to have such a beautiful theater here, and especially since it's literally across the street from downtown. I mean, it's so, you know, you go to other universities. I went to a concert at Humboldt State, and it was great, but, you know, you had to go onto the campus and getting there, and it was like a whole thing, you know?
Right. You can park your car one time for the day, and you can enjoy our beautiful downtown, our beautiful campus, Laxon Auditorium, and you can really make a whole day or evening out of a Chico Performances
event. Yeah, easily bike accessible for most of Chico.
Absolutely.
And if you live downtown, you just walk.
Yes. Yeah. I ride my bike to work often if I don't have to worry about those car seats.
There you go. And website, anything you want to?
Yeah, absolutely. So if anyone is really interested in getting the first look at our lineup and first access to tickets, we always offer that to our member donors. We could not do the work that we do at Chico Performances, bringing this arts and cultural experiences to our community without the support of our member donors. So as a thank you to them and their dedication to us, we always offer them the first look at the season, the first access to tickets, parking passes. The perks go on just depending on the level that you choose. So you can find more information about our member donor program and a look at the entire season at chicoperformances.com. And that will be updated in just a couple of weeks when we announce.
Oh, I'm excited to see what the whole new rebranding looks and all that. So hopefully you guys will be, I'm sure you'll be doing some press releases about that. So I'll get an email or two.
Absolutely. We'll be calling you.
All right. That sounds great. Well, hey, Rachel, thank you so much for taking time today to join us on Views and Beyond. And let's check back in a month or so and see what's happening.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All righty. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye.
All righty. Let's take a little musical break, a little nod to Fresh Hop Radio, Fresh Hop that preceded us with a tune from... Whoops, what's happening here? We've had a couple of interesting things going on here this evening, so hopefully that is not the case, but interesting, you know, we do interesting here at KZFR sometimes, so the hot weather sometimes kind of plays with our electronics here. Let's try this one more time. From Yusuf Lateef. Let's see if we can bring it up. Yusuf, are you there, buddy? Interesting. Interesting. All right, well, we'll do a little... I found him. We'll be right back. 1969, Livingston Playground at Yusuf Lateef from Detroit, latitude 42 degrees, 32 degrees longitude. All righty. Thanks for tuning in. Fastest of Jazz. Sorry about that. Tuning into Butte Views and Beyond. My name's Ray, and I have another interview lined up for you. Another really interesting, talking about a festival coming up and also about the great work that their foundation does. So thanks for coming on for that.
Nina Martin, the communication and media coordinator for Sierra Institute. Thanks for joining us on Butte Views and Beyond.
Thanks, Ray. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to share about Sierra Institute and our event coming up.
Yeah, you guys have a Forest Fest is happening this August.
It is, yes, August 27th and 28th. We started planning this back in 2019. And of course, then COVID happened and it had to be canceled in 2020. And so we were kind of waiting to see, and we decided to go forward for this summer. So we're really excited to bring it back. The Forest Fest is a revitalization of an old festival that used to happen in Taylorsville for 20 plus years called the Solar Cook-Off and Music Festival. And that was organized by Blackhawk Solar, which was accompanied by Bill and Mel Rocket. They live in Quincy, California, and they're a solar oven company. So they put on this festival starting in 1992, I believe. And it just became this like wonderful gathering in Taylorsville, California at the campground where they had bands and people just came and brought their solar ovens. It was never a very, the solar cook-off was never super structured. It was just like, bring your solar ovens, enjoy the sun, enjoy the community, enjoy music. And so they ended that, I believe, in 2012. They decided to kind of like retire the event, take a step back. And there's definitely been a demand. It just became such a wonderful community gathering and event. And it grew every year from 1992 to 2012. And like really, you know, kind of the scale really increased. So there was definitely a demand. The community was looking for that. And Sierra Institute, being in Taylorsville, had kind of saw that, thought about it, and decided that it was something that we wanted to kind of take over and make our own and use as a benefit for our organization, but also bring back this, like, you know, time-loved event. So that's what we're doing.
Yeah, that's great. Because, I mean, the Solar Cook-Off has, I remember I moved up to Paradise in 91.
Okay.
And hearing about it, like, when it was starting. You know, I was running around with some like-minded folks, and they were like, oh, yeah, dude, you got to come up, man. We're doing all this. And again, you know, it's kind of funny. We look back now and you see solar panels everywhere. Well, obviously, it wasn't that way. And
right.
The whole solar cooking, reflective cooking, that was like such an idea. What? I could boil water and, you know.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, well, I grew up in Quincy, and I actually, as a little kid, I went to the solar cook-off with my parents. And there was just something about it that was so special and so different than other festivals and other gatherings. And I mean, I had never heard of a solar oven before then. I don't think my parents had either. It's like one of those things when it's like, when you learn about the concept, it's like, oh yeah, of course.
Right.
But without that, when you just like see this like little box and you're like, wait a second, that can get how hot? I mean, it's like getting out, you can get into like the 400 degrees. I mean, you can cook pretty much anything in your solar oven, just depending on like sun angle. And, you know, if you're getting a store-bought solar oven, although you can also create them. So it's a really, you know, just this like space to be able to create and share and gather, but also to like, yeah, bring your solar oven, like use the solar powered energy of the sun and get together, and you can cook your lunch while you're dancing all day. So I always remember being really loving that. And my mom still, because of that event, she bought a solar oven and she still uses it every summer. I love her. Her cobblers are my favorite. What she
makes. Oh, is that right? Oh, yeah. That's great. Well, it is. And it's, you know, and the innovation that comes out of it from having all these like-minded people, and especially, you know, sometimes it's the person that just stumbles into it and it just
totally
blows their mind. And then they come up with all these other concepts and ideas.
Yeah.
And obviously solar is, you know, thank goodness it took a long time to get here. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the 70s when it was like right there at the cusp, and then somehow it all went away in the 80s. But, mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's taken hold for good, which is great to see.
Yeah, definitely.
So it's great to see. Well, I'm glad you guys are doing the event, and we'll just let the cat out of the bag right off the bat. Chico favorite, Smokey the Groove, is going to be playing up there. So, and we love those guys. They're so much fun. Just a big wild funk band. And to be able to go up to the mountains and camp and see Smokey the Groove, that'll get people buzzing right away.
Totally. Yeah. We love Smokey the Groove. I've had the pleasure of getting to hear them in a few different events. And we also, that Saturday evening, they're playing on with Object Heavy, which is a band from Humboldt, also a funk band, cool. Soul funk. And they've played together before. So Object Heavy is going to do the first set and Smokey the Groove is going to do like a late night set. And it's just going to be, it's in the historic hall, which is in Taylorsville. It has a spring loaded dance floor, which is always super fun. So that's Saturday night. And then Saturday during the day, we have local and regional bands playing all day in the campground. And in the campground, we'll have food vendors, craft vendors, Quirkus, which is the Quincy Circus, is going to have like a kids booth with arts and face painting. So it's just kind of like an all day family friendly event for people to enjoy music all day and just kind of hang out, set up their solar ovens, you know, kind of like cook. And then that evening there's the nighttime headliners in the Grange Hall in Taylorsville. And there's also, it starts off, the event actually starts off on Friday night though, with our opening act of Boot Juice, which is an awesome band from Davis actually. Mm-hmm. And, I love them. They're one of my faves. So it's Friday night. We also have Aris James. He's from Reno. He's the opener. And then Boot Juice plays. And so they're going to kick off the event, hopefully. If people want to come and stay, camp Friday night and be ready to kind of rock starting on Saturday morning, too.
What kind of Boot Juice? What kind of music?
How would you describe? Oh, man. They're kind of all over. I mean, I would say they're like country and they're rock and they're folky. They're really fun to dance to, but they can also do some just like beautiful melodies. I would encourage people to go check them out online. We are also on forestfest.org. We have all of our bands listed. But yeah, they're kind of all across the board of genres, but kind of this like folk, country, rock. We kind of describe them.
Oh, that sounds cool. Yeah, I haven't seen them in the Chico. Of course, we haven't seen much in the Chico area, but I'll have to check them out.
Yeah,
Davis is not too far away. We'd like to see that. Forestfest.org, all the details, tickets, schedules, camping information.
Totally. Exactly.
Everything under one roof. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about the reason you're doing this, which is support Sierra Institute.
Yeah. Yeah, so Sierra Institute, our full name is Sierra Institute for Community and Environment, and we're a nonprofit in Taylorsville. And as our name suggests, we are definitely at the intersection of community and environment. And so what that looks like is thinking about how we keep our natural habitats around us healthy, sustainable, and thriving, as well as the people that live in these forested, rural, mountain communities that are all located, you know, Quincy, Taylorsville, Plumas County. We're located at the headwaters of the California Water Project. So it's really important that we keep these landscapes, these watersheds, and these forested areas healthy, but also that the communities that live here are thriving. And that can be a delicate balance. You know, rural areas, we face our own set of issues. So the looking at basically the economy up here, as well as doing restoration projects. So some of that would look like forest thinning, fuels reduction projects, you know, trying to do wildfire mitigation. Obviously that work's really important. And it's certainly not just a job that just Sierra Institute is doing up here. It has to be a collaborative effort between federal, state, and local agencies, you know, so we partner with the Forest Service a lot. We try to increase just the capacity at which that they can do work more quickly up here, right? So whenever there's projects, there has to be a NEPA analysis, which is an environmental kind of planning analysis to think about, you know, the various factors before we can go in and do some kind of forest thinning. So there's like the different sides of Sierra Institute. We can help do the NEPA analysis. We're also doing implementation. We also have crews that we organize over the summer. So this summer we have a timber marking crew and a wilderness fuels module crew, which is doing, you know, we have sawyers and swampers. So we have like on the, you know, on the trail, on the land management, we're also doing the analysis part of it, just to support basically all of the efforts that are trying to keep our land and our forests and our watersheds healthy and sustainable. And then we also are doing the economic portions of that, which are looking at the workforce development primarily. And that some of that is like our trail crews. And some of that is just increasing the capacity of the forest economy. So how do we create more jobs that reduce fuels in our forests and also put people to work? We also do youth stewardship. So we have our P crew, which is our Plumas, Conservation, Recreation, and Education and Watersheds, youth stewardship trail crew every summer. So that's students ages about 14 to 18, their 10th through 12th grade. And we have two crews that go out twice, so that there's four crews total. So there's two sessions, and each session has two crews. We just finished first session, and now second session is kind of in limbo because of the fires up here. But primarily every year we have four youth crews, and that's such a special thing that Sierra Institute does, which is just getting kids on the land to do restoration activity, or to do restoration, to do trail crews, to do trail work, but they don't need to have any experience. So they don't need to have ever camped. They don't need to have ever used, you know, the tools that they're going to be learning. It's an opportunity to get students acquainted with the types of work in conservation, and also just the youth development as well. So, you know, some of these kids are coming up here, they're spending 5 weeks out in the forest. They're going to naturally, grow and learn, and you know, just learn about collaboration and leadership and self-development. So it's a beautiful program. It's one of my favorite things that Sierra Institute gets to do, and it's just one of the many things that we do. So we are definitely a multifaceted organization, but again, all just kind of centering around community and environment.
Yeah, that's honestly, I'm blown away by all the things that you guys are into and you guys are doing. And I agree that youth thing. Now, so where do the kids come from? They come from all over, or how does that work?
Yeah, so that's an important piece of it. We try to really focus on, part of PCRU's mission is collaborating rural and urban youth. And so we want to make sure that 50%, we try to, you know, give or take a little bit, 50% is urban and 50% is rural. And we find that we want to make sure, so up here, students, right, they live in the forest, they see these kind of jobs theoretically, but sometimes, you know, if their families aren't into natural resources careers, or they, you know, does it just because you live in a forested landscape doesn't even necessarily mean you engage with it the way that you always think, right? Like some people live near the ocean and have never been, like, that's just, right. You know, like we don't think about that, but I think when we think about that, Sierra Institute thinks about that, and how do we get our rural communities, our rural kids into the woods, realizing, hey, this is right here, this is here for you, this could be a career that you might love, and also just learning how to feel a sense of more connection to the land and a sense of place and belonging. And at the same time, getting urban youth up to these places and being exposed to these careers, you know, in a very different way, because they are more removed. But sometimes we see these urban communities, the applications usually come mostly from these urban schools. And I think there's maybe a bit more of like draw because it seems very novel. But that's why we find it very important to collaborate these two different, almost like, I mean, it's a different culture in some ways, rural and urban. And having those kids come together, learn from each other, expand each other is a really important part of the program.
Yeah, honestly, it's fantastic. It's beautiful because, I mean, you're bringing that out. And like you said, just because you live in Quincy doesn't mean you're running around in the woods all the time. You know,
exactly.
You might be on your computer 90% of the time. And you're like, no, I don't really go in the woods. Exactly. And the same thing with living in the city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so having that and opening that experience up to kids that don't have as easy access. And 5 weeks, I mean, by the time you come out, you're going to be like, you know, you're going to be all about it.
Oh, totally. I mean, it's beautiful. I got to do some filming last summer of the kids, and just listening to the reflections starting at the beginning and the end, and their kind of perceptions of what they thought they were doing and then what it became. And there's just something really magical about nature and about the forest. And I mean, Sierra Institute isn't the only organization that knows this. I mean, this is a studied concept, but just that, especially for youth, just to get them out there, removed from technology, immersed in the natural landscape, and working hard, you know, sweating every day, you know, they get a wage. I mean, they're being paid. Like, this is a job. For some of them, it's their very first job they've ever had. Some of them, it's their first time being away from home. So there's a lot of challenges, but they're also supported by their crew leaders, by peer mentors, and then they get to create this community that's just so unlike anything, because they're forced to kind of like learn how to adapt and work together. So, I mean, all of the kids that come out of it that I've seen, they're forever changed. And that's a really beautiful part of it.
Yeah, it really is amazing. And that, you know, it's like the personal development really is paramount. And then, by the way, we're also like helping to reduce fire danger and improve water quality and improve the health of the ecosystem. So, but in the meantime, you get this life transition that even if you just do it for one session, it's going to change you for life.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, some of these kids, they might realize, you know, actually doing restoration and conservation work, that's not for me. But then they also learned that, you know, and they got to be engaged with that. And they hopefully still felt a deeper sense and connection to nature. And even if that's not the career that they go into, they still did meaningful work that, this is a summer job that they'll remember forever.
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that is so cool. That is so cool. Well, it's amazing all the things you guys are involved in, and your passion for them comes out fantastic. Let's circle back to the event.
Yeah.
So you're having the Forest Festival? Forest Fest?
Yeah, so Forest Fest, yeah. So basically, just to kind of connect all of that, you know, so Sierra Institute again is working with community environment, and we do, you know, youth stewardship, and we're doing workforce development, and we're looking at a forest economy, and we're doing landscape scale restoration. And so all of this, the Forest Fest is going to support all of the work that we do. And so it is a benefit event for Sierra Institute. And it's a 2-day event, starts on Friday night with Boot Juice and Eris James playing in the historic hall in Taylorsville. The event starts at 7:30 that night. And then on Saturday morning, it starts at 10 a.m. in the Taylorsville campground. And there's bands all day from 10 till 6, going until 7 p.m. There's also vendors, food vendors, you know, craft merchants, a kids' corner. And then that evening, it wraps up with two headliners, Object Heavy and Smokey the Groove, for like a funky time again in the Taylorsville Historic Hall. So there's part of it is outside in the campground where people can set up their solar ovens and do their solar cooking and hang out and dance. And then there's the evening bands both Friday and Saturday, which is inside venues with the spring-loaded dance floor. So
the spring, you know, some people might not be familiar with this, but the dance floor actually has springs on it. So as the people dance and move up and down, the floor moves with you.
Yes, it's seriously like the floor actually bounces.
it's pretty wild, and there's not a lot of those left around. There used to be ones out on kind of where 149 and 70 meet, south of Oroville, that burned down about 10 probably 15 years ago. So they're
really?
Yeah, they were you know, they were all around back in the day, but the fact that you guys still have one is pretty darn special. That's worth the trip right there, just to go, especially dance to a couple of funk bands, right?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's very fun. Yes, very fun. I didn't realize there wasn't that many, although I should know that because I've never really heard of it elsewhere, but that's very cool.
Yeah, I think the one in Taylorsville is one of the few left in this area. I'm not sure if there's any over by Eureka, but very cool. Well, hey, thank you so much for taking time. It's an absolute pleasure to meet you for the first time, and just to hear all the things you guys are doing. I mean, what a worthy cause. What a great time. I'm immediately now looking at my calendar, scratching my head, thinking, okay, let's see how this could work out. I'm thinking about, you know, bringing some friends up. So
awesome.
Forestfest.org is the place.
Yes.
Smokey the Groove. And August 27th and 28th with a couple of other great bands, Boot Juice on Friday night, and Object Heavy from, where are those guys from?
Humble.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. You know they're going to get down.
Yeah, definitely. Yes. Forestfest.org is where you can find out all of the information and get tickets. So, yeah, thank you so much, Ray. I really appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you. And thank you for all the great work you're doing.
Yeah.
Take care.
Thanks.
Another, sounds like a fun, fun weekend up in the mountains in Taylorsville. Check it out, forestfest.org. Let's get right into our next interview. You know how this goes. All of a sudden, I don't have enough time, and then I don't have enough time. And anyway, so let's
welcome
hear from
Carolyn from Explore Butte County, Executive Director of Explore Butte County. How are you?
Good. How are you, Ray?
I am good. Well, we were talking earlier this week, and you guys got a pretty exciting new program coming up.
We do. We earlier this year, I think you and I talked, and we got to share that we launched a new program called the Hike Butte CA Pass. And it's a digital pass that anybody can put on their phone and go and hike 35 different hikes in Butte County. So we wanted to really give people a way to find the hikes, get to the hikes, and then reward them for going on hikes. So we have really cool like stickers and backpacks and things. So the more hikes you do, the more things you could win.
Right. And it's a smartphone. It's an app on your phone. You load it up.
Yeah, it's really easy.
Yeah, yeah. I've done a few. It actually gives you the trail and it tells you like when you're going, and you know, it's great.
Yeah.
Really great.
Yeah, a lot of fun. So we found that it was hard to find all of the hikes in one place, even for us. So we thought, let's put them all, like we found all the information, put it together, and then launched this really fun app. And so as we now have over 3,000 people signed up.
Wow.
On the pass, which is fantastic, not just locals, but you know, when friends and family come, I think it gives people something to do. So that's great. And we realized that if we're talking about hiking and trails, that we wanted to figure out a way to do some sort of give back, right? So who's doing trail works? How do we maintain the resources that we have in the county that are, you know, usually underfunded, but they're really great resources? So we partnered with Upper Park Clothing out of Chico. Their designer there actually helped us create the custom logo for the Hike Butte Pass. And so in talking with them, part of their mission is to give back as well. And so they have a curated give back collection that is going to be launching next week, actually. I just got an email today that they'll be launching it next week.
Great.
That I think it's, let me see, to get, I believe 25% of the proceeds of this wearable collection will be given to Chico Velo Trail Works, who does trail works in Bidwell Park. They have a great partnership with Parks Department. They've done trail works down in Oroville. They're working in partnership with a big trail project up in Colby Meadows. So really trying to get people to get involved who really like hiking, getting out on the trails, and kind of a fun project that we get to be a part of.
Yeah, that sounds great. And, you know, just again, that collaboration between groups and actually giving back to what you're supporting.
Absolutely.
Because the truth is, you know, as more visibility and use happens, then there's more wear and tear. And, this is such a great resource. And like I said, and a great driver for recreation and tourism, and to kind of preserve who we are here in Butte County. And, you know, we're in this kind of funny space between, we're not really urban, but we're not really rural, and we're not really ag, but we're not really industrial, you know? So, yeah. And I think that's one of the attractions of Butte County and the greater area, is that you have such access to these different things.
Absolutely. And sustainability is really at the forefront of preserving our communities for travel and tourism. So it, yes, we want to promote all of the amazing things that we have here. And it's funny the way that you said that, like, we're not all of those things, but we are a little bit of all of those things.
Yeah.
And so we really do have great access in really a short drive or walk to so many things that other cities and towns don't have in California. And so we've been really looking at that and thinking about that a little bit differently, because it is, you have access to all of these things right here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's pretty great. So we want to make sure that we're preserving those things, particularly the outdoor spaces. And we see in our partner communities who are seeing a lot more visitation, that it's hard to manage that. And so we want to make sure that that's a part of the conversation from day one is, if we're going to be using trails, how do we help preserve trails or let people, let the community know that there are ways to get involved? You can go work on a trail work day, volunteer your time, or you can volunteer money, which is going to help those people who are maintaining our trails and building new trails. So it's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. And people love that retail aspect of it as well. That it's like, okay, mm-hmm. Am I going to write a check? I don't know. But if I buy this sweatshirt or this hat that shows that I am an outdoor person and I like to hike and stuff, but I also give back, it's like the Greenpeace bag that you take to the farmer's market or whatever.
Right.
And it helps not just the trail restoration and those organizations, but it also creates jobs in the community. And it also is your kind of, showing people like, hey, there's ways to get involved without quitting your job and going to move to the mountains to dig trails,
Right. Yes. Buy a shirt.
Yeah, you can simply buy a shirt. Buy some shirts for other people and things like that and get involved. Okay. Retail with a purpose is what,
yes,
is what we've heard before on that. And, mm-hmm. and obviously it's a model that a number of organizations use, which is great. And it's great to see that this is happening. And especially the partnership again of Explore Butte County and Upper Park and just, local businesses getting involved and finding ways, instead of each organization coming at it from their own silo, you guys are like, look, let's make it a bigger thing and have more push.
Absolutely. And there are so many organizations who, that is a part of their mission, is this give back and collaboration. And it's fun to bring new partners to the table. Like, here, let's set this table and who wants to join? And just a lot of creative folks in our community that makes our community so great, right? Who are like, yeah, let's be a part of that thing. So it's fun. I'm hoping to grow more of these as we move forward.
Oh, yeah. I think other businesses will see that and be like, hey, maybe we can help. Maybe we can get involved in this. Whether it's their own thing or even just kind of latching on, I'm immediately thinking of like, okay, libations is very popular here in Chico. And I thought, oh, what about a pint glass that all the local, watering holes could have? And it's like, hey, here's the Butte Trails pint glass. Yeah, it's a little bit more. We get to keep the glass, but that goes to trail restoration. And
maybe we will take that idea for Bike Butte for trail restoration next year.
because then you get to take it home and you show your friends how cool you are. And everybody, of course, now wants a set of four. So, and then, of course, you can sell them on the retail end as well. Like, oh, you don't want to drink that much beer? No problem. We got a thing for that.
Yeah. Lots of great ideas on how to. And maybe you don't even care necessarily about it, but you really like the shirt, like for Hike Butte. And so you're like, this is great. I would love to buy this shirt. And you don't even know that you're really helping our community too. So kind of fun.
Yeah. And especially, Upper Park has kind of a real iconic look that, I mean, when they hit the floor running, it was just like, okay, a little game changer. You can pick their logos, their workout,
Yeah.
All over the place. It's like, oh, that's an Upper Park. So that's cool too, that it's got a real uniqueness to it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, very good. You guys are always doing something over there.
We are trying to keep it fresh. So that's for sure.
Do you have anything coming up in the fall? Sneak previews or anything? Or should we save that for another day?
Maybe we save that for another day. I think we should save that for another day.
Right. Well, hey, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And so it's great to have you. And I look forward to having another visit.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Ray. Have a good evening.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Butte Views and Beyond. Peanut Butter and Jelly Time is coming up next with a special guest, or a special host, I should say. You'll probably recognize her voice. Let's jump into our next interview here. And thanks for tuning in today.
I'd like to welcome Megan. I can't talk now. Megan Gaddis from Arca Butte County. We've had you kind enough to stop in a couple times on Butte Views. Welcome to the program tonight, and let's do a little update. I know you guys have a lot of things going on.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having me on tonight, Ray. It's always a pleasure to be here at KZFR. We do have some updates coming up. We are very excited to slowly but surely be opening back up our programs to our clients. And just as a reminder, those that we serve have intellectual and developmental disabilities. And we're really excited to be reopening up some of our programs. And we're doing so just in a really safe manner. So it's small numbers and a regular rotation. But programs like our adult day program is opening back up. We're even getting clients back in the store.
Oh, that's great. It's nice that you guys are back open and also accepting donations. Is that correct?
Absolutely. We were closed for a very short period of time during the pandemic. We were lucky enough to be open for a majority of the time. We are opened now. We are located at 2020 Park Avenue, and we are open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. We are typically accepting donations during those hours, except for when it gets a little too hot. And so just to keep our employees safe, occasionally we do close early, and you can find those updates on our social media outlets.
Okay, that sounds great. And I heard you might be reopening the Oroville location as well.
That is something that we are working on right now. We are kind of, there's a lot of updates that we need to do to the facilities in order to get it ready for the public. So we're working on that. We are hoping to reopen the Oroville facility to the public, even as a rental venue, hopefully within the next year. The facility is open to our adult day program in Oroville, which again, we're really happy to have those people back. So they are partaking in classes in person, as well as integrating Zoom still, just to make sure that everyone can be involved. And they're doing classes like cooking and arts and crafts, and just the socialization is really helping with that mental, emotional state of the clients and our staff as well.
Yeah, for sure. And I know that's obviously been a challenge with the everybody being a little more isolated. That doesn't help.
No, we're all very, very happy to be back in person as much as we can be, definitely.
Yeah, that's great. And then also, okay, so let's talk a little bit now. I know you guys obviously do a lot of gently used donations in that, and it's just that. You know, it's items that have value, and not like, instead of going to the trash bin, you take it somewhere.
One of the biggest issues that we deal with at the donation center and at our thrift store, we do, first and foremost, we are so incredibly grateful to our community members who choose us to donate their gently used items and kind of give those things a second chance at life. One problem that we have dealt with pretty much since the beginning of time, not just in the pandemic, is the amount of unsellable items that we receive as donations. And like I said, we are so incredibly thankful for all of the gracious donations that come in. However, we do ask that you take a second look at your items and make sure that they deserve a second chance at life, if you will. The priority with the thrift store is that all of the proceeds are supposed to go to our supportive community programs. And unfortunately, when we get an influx of unsellable items, those funds end up going to our trash bill. So we're really just trying to avoid that. And
right. Save.
Yeah. Save the money for, right. You know, its original cause.
Right. Make sure the things work. The tables have four legs. and, you know, it is. And it's retail with a purpose. It's green. It's reliving these things, you know. Let's face it, there's a lot more going on. It's great that people donate in that. And all the organizations that do that provide a service for us, the donors, because it's an opportunity for us, you know, obviously to take things out of our households that we're no longer using, but also putting it to that worthy cause. And it's not costing us anything. So, and we get a tax donation on top of it. So you want to really make sure it's something that something has value.
Yeah, no, and thanks for mentioning that. Everything that you do donate to the Arc of Butte County is tax deductible. So that's a huge bonus for you. But, you know, it is a problem because a lot of people this day and age, we're doing everything that we can to stay green and recycle as much as possible. But even myself, when I'm donating, I really try to take a second look and say, hey, I'm going to donate this shirt. Oh, it has a hole or it has a stain.
Exactly.
Maybe it deserves to go go in the bin and not to another person who probably doesn't want it. So, you know, just take a second look. But overall, we're so appreciative of the donations. And it's the community, Butte County and the greater areas that really keep us going.
Well, and the other thing, too, is on the flip side of the consumer side, is I love shopping at thrift stores. One, I like to find things. I like to, you know, you find a lot of cool stuff. I like vintage things and that. Obviously, the pricing is great. And I like broken-in things, so it's kind of fun. and you find a lot of treasures there, so...
I actually shop there a little too much. I've told some of our employees to cut me off every once in a while, but it is. It's hard because we have some amazing sales. We have sales every day, and we have monthly sales and weekly sales, daily sales. All of those you can find on our social media outlets. We try and post those on a daily basis. You can also find some store and program updates by signing up for our online newsletter, which you can do on our website at www.arcbutte.org.
Okay, very cool. So, yeah, a lot of things, a lot of different ways. And, again, the work that you guys do, the model that you guys have presented for, like, 100 years or something of...
Not quite, but we're getting there. I think we're in our 70s.
You know, providing these services for families and people to develop their lives in a more normal manner, and all the sustainability that goes into that, not just for their lives, but for the community as well. And also create a model for people and, you know, there's ways to make it work.
Absolutely. And that's our mission, is just to provide education, advocacy, and inclusion for adults, children, and families of those with intellectual and developmental disabilities, such as autism, Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, and some other disabilities out there as well. So we're really excited to be here, and we're really excited to be a part of this community and helping the 1,300 plus families in the greater Butte County area.
Wow. It's always nice to have the ARC. And Megan from the ARC of Butte County, longtime KGFR supporters and also a great community advocates. We want to thank the Peddler's Closet on 3rd Street next to the Farmer's Market in downtown Chico. The Peddler's Closet offers artisan clothing, jewelry, antiques, arts, collectibles, and a unique and vibrant one-of-a-kind tie-dye clothing, open Wednesday through Saturday at 177 East 3rd Street. Details at the Peddler's Closet on Facebook, Instagram, and at 518-8883. We also want to thank California Consortium for Urban Indian Health and the California Endowment. The COVID-19 pandemic has devastated the Native American communities. They have lost many elders, but there is hope. And the communities are resilient and will overcome this pandemic. The best way to protect the community is to get vaccinated. The vaccine is available and safe for all. More information, visit myturn.ca.gov. Thanks for tuning in. And peanut butter and jelly time. You want to start your music,
yeah.
Peanut butter?
Face the music.
Face the peanut butter.
Broadcasting time.